argument on case number 84998, Draskovich versus Draskovich. Everybody ready to proceed? All righty. Okay, counsel, do you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
4 minutes for rebuttal, please.
4 minutes. So what will happen, counsel, I'm sure you know this, but just to be clear, when it gets down to 4 minutes of time left, the yellow light will come on and there'll be a tone, but the clock still keeps running. So if you're still standing there, the time is still running down.
Okay. May it please the court. My name is John Glenn Watkins, and I represent Robert Draskovich on the appeal. The giving away of Robert's separate property is an abuse of discretion. The district court gave one half of Robert's 25-year separate property law practice, an amount in excess of $500,000, to Lorenda because Robert incorporated his separate property law practice during the marriage. The act of incorporation does not transmute separate property to community property. The community does not acquire separate property. The character of Robert's incorporated law practice is determined by the source of the property used to procure it. It's known as trace. A business procured either before or during marriage with separate property maintains that separate property status. In other words, the individual, it's their separate property. There's no question in this case that prior to the incorporation of his separate property, his law practice for 25 years was his separate property. And that has not been disputed. Tracing is how we determine the character of property. By the way, all community property states, including those that follow the American rule, such as Nevada, and those that follow the civil rule, such as Texas, they all still use tracing to determine the character.
And in this, Mr. Watkins, if tracing is what's required, what evidence was presented to allow the court to do the tracing analysis?
Oh, Judge, it was the judge made it very clear, and I'll answer your question if I may. The judge stated, the record is very clear, that Robert's incorporated business was an ongoing practice for two decades. Clearly, that shows, you know, that he was talking about his prior practice, which was separate property. The business evaluator, Jennifer Allen, for forensic, Anthem Forensics, said, this is not a startup business. Again, that's very clear that they're referring to Robert's separate property. Robert himself testified at great length, starting in 1997 when he started out, as to all his years of practice and who he was with, et cetera, et cetera. Always maintained a separate property interest in his law practice.
Mr. Watkins, let me ask another question.
Sure.
Even before he incorporated his own law firm in 2019.
January 15th.
Yes. Right. Okay. So this couple got married in 2012. Right?
August 4th.
Okay. So for those 7 years, even before the incorporation, they were married while he was conducting that practice.
Yes.
Does that not indicate that even before the incorporation, there was some community property interest in his practice?
The community property interest would be, number one, this was Robert's law practice before his marriage, during the marriage, and after the incorporation.
But does it not?
The community property comes in under the Pereira or Van Camp analysis,
right.
And that would be Lorenda's burden to show that the separate property Robert's separate property law practice, that there was a community property interest under the Pereira and or Van Camp analysis. Now, she didn't do that. And here's what happened. They wanted half of Robert's practice. So really, anyone that was doing this would know that this was Robert's separate property and you needed to do a Pereira or Van Camp analysis. And they chose not to because that was their trial strategy.
Counsel, let me ask you a question just to understand. So another hypo, I hate hypos, but I'm trying to wrestle with this. So if Mr. Draskovich had not been practicing, let's say he quit that a week before he got married. And a week after he got married, he incorporated a law firm. Would any of that be his separate property?
We would trace. Did the incorporated law practice come from his separate property? If it did, which under your hypo, mm-hmm. it would be, because where would it come from? And he couldn't pull it from the air.
Well, whose obligation would it be to show that?
Robert showed that it was his separate property. It was his separate property. And so bottom line, it would be the Lorenda's burden to show that she had a community interest under Pereira Van Camp. And if Robert, for example, sold his business, his law practice during the marriage, and opened up a donut shop with those proceeds, that donut shop would be his separate property, subject to any community property under Pereira or Van Camp.
Wouldn't he have to show the tracing, like you've been talking about, to show that it's the proceeds from this sale of separate property that was used to form this?
Here's my opinion is that, number one, when it's very clear, readily available, that separate property was the source of procuring property, let's say, during the marriage, then it's established. I mean, it's very clear. Only in those cases where you really wouldn't know where it came from, then, you know, he would have to, you know, show the tracing. And here, the tracing was done by the judge ongoing for 2 decades, not a startup business. Robert's own testimony, in fact, Robert stated at trial, the beginning of 2019, I continued the same practice as the Draskovich Law Group. So I need to address the alimony, if I may.
Before we get there, can I just ask you one more question?
Oh, sure.
I want to make sure I'm reading this right. It appears that, it was suggested by the court that the parties agreed that there is some community interest in the practice.
Van Camp or Pereira? Okay. That's what Robert said when she was entitled to something. She is entitled. But that's her burden to prove that. We have also the separate property presumption that comes into play. When you have separate property, it's presumed to maintain that separate property status, and it would be Lorenda's burden to refute with clear and convincing evidence. This court's supplemental request for briefing really helped out and clarified, I think, for the court what was going on here, because there was a confusion. You know, we had practice, then he opens corporation, made it very clear. The key is tracing. Was it Robert's separate property? Yes, it was. It's Lorenda's burden to prove under Pereira or Van Camp her community interest, and decided not to do that. And the reason being is because they wanted one half of $500,000+. Alimony, man. The district court, and I think he was the judge in that Kogod case, so he's pretty familiar because I think he got reversed. So the judge was pretty familiar. The district court's denial of the alimony is supported by substantial evidence. He went through all the 123.150 section 9 relevant factors and concluded that alimony was not appropriate. A couple of points I'd like to point out. Lorenda misrepresented her education at the trial, said she had a associate degree in paralegal studies. It said nothing about the baccalaureate degree in teaching. It was the judge who, in his decision, said, wait a minute, she's got more education than she claims.
Mr. James, what do you say to the argument that were we to credit your position with respect to the practice being separate property presumptively in the Pereira Van Camp applying, that we would then have to also vacate on alimony because the alimony determination was predicated in part on the division with respect to
the... I understand what you're saying, and the judge did kind of, he actually used the word sliding scale. However, when you look at what I'm going to say, I think that you'll see that she's not entitled to the alimony. There was no fault that considered by the court. He talked about her gambling and drinking. She drank and gambled frequently, et cetera, et cetera. The reason the judge mentioned that is to show that she could work. And there's testimony of $5,500 for teaching. And that was done, Mr. Draspich's attorney, brought that out. However, Mr. James has said this court should impute that $5,500. So he's admitting, that teachers make about $5,500. Lavish lifestyle, the fact that she, the lifestyle, Robert went in debt $500,000 with the IRS. Number one, I'm scared of the IRS. He was $500,000. I paid it down. I think it's down to nothing, but whoa. Imputed income, this court, in answer to your question, that the imputed income would be, they wanted 58.5 months at $6,000. Well, if you impute, and by the way, opposing counsel said, you should impute this. It would be 58.5 times 5,500, which is $321,750. That's what she would have if she works. Okay. She don't want to work. And she told, the record, she told her friends, I don't need to work. I'm not going to work. I'm going to get money from Robert. He's a rich man and all this kind of stuff. Robert is a generous man. There's no question about that. And so the imputed income is a major set off and nullifies, in my opinion, her remanding for an alimony determination with this court agreeing with our position it was Robert's separate property. The standard of living, Lorenda says $5,000, that's what my standard of living is. Lorenda is already, Robert has given her $432,000 cash, valuable assets, all debt free, plus the imputed income of $321,750. Lorenda's income and earning capacity and what she received in the divorce, she's guaranteed a very decent living. And she says she can live on $5,000 a month. That's what they said. The district judge's denial of alimony was supported by substantial evidence and should be affirmed.
Do you want to reserve the rest of your time?
I do, please. Mr. James. I hope I didn't talk too loud. And by the way, I just had eye surgery, so that's why I...
Okay, then.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Peter James for Lorenda Draskovich. Mm-hmm. Now, in this case, we've got several issues. I'll start with the business valuation issue. Draskovich Law Group was incorporated on January 15th, 2019, 7 years after the marriage happened. Now,
but that's a change in form of the business. He had the law firm from 2007, if memory serves, and he built that business and came into the marriage with it. So under Smith and cases like that, wouldn't that be separate property that you then do a Pereira Van Camp analysis on?
Not really, no. He had a business before. He had this business during the marriage, and there are several key factors that are different here. When a business incorporates, that's considered its birth date. It didn't exist before. this particular business has a different EIN than the prior one. That's a different social security number. It is a different legal entity.
So you're saying if I have a bar that I opened and then I decide I want to incorporate it to avoid liability, I came into the marriage with my bar, the incorporation during the marriage makes that community property?
That's not actually what happened here. The business...
But answer my question before that. I mean, to me, people in business have an asset and they want to protect it, so they will incorporate to protect it, keeping it simple.
There is a
that doesn't change their ownership of that in the sense of the character of the property that they had, like it came into the marriage as separate property. Why would the mere act of incorporation change that?
There is a case I cited to out of Texas, which is a community property state in the supplemental briefing, which
but of a different ilk than Nevada.
It's not Nevada, it's out of Texas. It's persuasive authority, but it's a community property state that's actually on point to your hypothetical, though. It said the mere fact that wife incorporated her business during the marriage and nothing else changed made it community property. That's in the supplemental briefing, Your Honor, that I had that answers that question directly. Now, here, the opposing side keeps on mischaracterizing this as a name change. It's not a name change. It's a brand new entity. He could have kept the old entity. He's an attorney. He should know this. Everyone is presumed to know the law, and that's an irrebuttable presumption, let alone someone who actually is an attorney as a party who also has counsel with him. So they had two attorneys on that side working on this who should know what was going on. Now,
do you dispute that up until the end of the Turco and Drastovich partnership, that he was still practicing with that firm as he had been prior to the marriage?
The new firm DLG Drastovich Ludgrup didn't exist until he incorporated it.
Right.
So we do dispute that. It is a different business, a different entity. Now,
but pre-incorporation, did you dispute that the law firm was his separate property?
The Turcos and Drastovich?
Yes.
There would have been a separate property and community property component to that, which actually we probably should have done a Pereira Van Camp analysis on Turcos and Drastovich to get the value out of that during that time. We probably should have done that.
It would have been nice if anyone presented any evidence in that regard.
Well, now here's the interesting part. Mr. Drastovich hired Ms. Allen to do a community property analysis.
Well, let me pause you right there. You cite in your, and this is troubling to me, it's your respondent supplemental answering brief, and you cite the record 1AA 51 to 52 for the proposition that Robert directed the expert to do a community property analysis. I went to those pages and I do not see that there. I see that they asked for a valuation of the firm. That is not the same thing as a community property analysis.
If you go further into the testimony, you'll find out.
I'm asking you about the site in your brief. What on pages 51 to 52 of the appendix supports that assertion?
I'll have to double check the appendix, but if it doesn't exactly cite to it, I apologize to the court for not including
the
proper
citation.
It's in the
Anthem Forensics letter. Is there anything in the Anthem Forensics report, which is in the record, and I don't expect you to go get it, but is there anything that says, Robert says to Anthem, do a community property analysis?
I don't recall if it says that or not. The document speaks for itself. Okay. But if I do recall correctly, Ms. Allen testified she was to determine the community property analysis. And she in her report, which Robert had beforehand, goes into detail that she couldn't do a separate property analysis. And she even said this at trial because she wasn't presented one with the question to do a separate property analysis.
Right. She was never asked to do one, right?
She wasn't
Isn't
asked
that
to
what
do
she
one.
Said?
By yeah. either side.
Right.
Well, I had no, my client had no input in the scope of the valuation whatsoever.
But if this is separate property and your client is trying to assert a Pereira or Van Camp community interest in that property, it is her burden to do so under Smith and the statutes, is it not?
That's a presumption that doesn't exist in this case, though, because when you acquire property during the marriage, it is presumptively community property. Now, here's a case that's actually on point as to this issue. It's Ford versus Ford, 105 Nevada 672, 782 Pacific 2nd, 1304. The district court here telegraphed that there was no evidence presented as to a rule as to, as to separate property, and the court declared it to be community property. This is telegraphing to that he wanted a Rule 5259 motion to reopen the case. And Ford versus Ford specifically says, when an essential element of a party's case can easily and readily be established by reopening the case, refusal to reopen will most often constitute an abuse of discretion. And Judge Duckworth was telegraphing that there's no evidence here as to separate property. It's presumptively community. And he also put that in his order, the decree of divorce. And I actually calendared the deadline expecting...
But if that's legally erroneous, if he's legally wrong on that, I don't understand the 5259 issue that you raise.
Well, the court here today would have to create new law in Nevada to do so, and he can't be expected to understand that there's going to be a change in the law in the future. Nevada law right now says that any property acquired during the marriage is presumptively community property. This business was acquired during the marriage.
You don't Turcos agree and that a transmutation is... a continuation of an asset that was brought into the marriage. You dispute that?
Yes, Your Honor, and I gave plentiful citation in the supplemental briefing as to this. And if there were to be any transmutation and tracing, they offered no evidence at trial of this. So their argument kind of, it says one thing, but they really did another. They're just trying to bootstrap it into the appeal when they didn't present this evidence before the judge to begin with. So
there never was any evidence that it wasn't his separate property coming into the marriage. I mean, I guess I'm a little confused. He testified to that. And I understand your point about 2019 and the incorporation, but prior to the incorporation, would you agree that it was separate property?
The Turcos and Draskovich entity would have a separate property and community property portion to it, not Draskovich Law Group.
Okay, but let's go with that. Whose burden was it to show the community or separate property division of that property value?
Of Turcos and Draskovich?
Yeah. Let's say the divorce occurred in 2018.
That would very likely have been Lorinda's. But we didn't even ask for evaluation of that business at the initial trial. So it's actually a moot point. We valued Draskovich Law Group, and that's what was valued. Not Turcos and Draskovich, two different business entities.
What would he have to do to show that, in fact, it was a continuation of the pre-existing business?
I've never looked into his argument. I represent Lorinda Draskovich. That would be for him to decide as to what he would want to present as evidence. And he had the ample opportunity to do so at trial and chose not to. That was a trial strategy on his point. The judge even said at the beginning of trial that based upon what he's read so far in the pretrial briefs and whatnot, that Draskovich Law Group is presumptively community property. It might have been on day one, might have been on day two of trial. I'm a little fuzzy on that part of it, but he did announce it before he announced his decision based upon the evidence presented.
Can you repeat that? What did the judge announce and when?
It was either at the beginning of trial or the beginning of day two of trial. He announced that he was going to consider Draskovich Law Group to be, at least as the evidence was presented so far, a community property asset based upon the report and whatnot. Now, going back to the Rule 5259 motion, when they found the decree and they found that the judge said it's community property, they were on notice right then that they could and, in fact, should have filed a Rule 5259 motion, say, hey, let's present this evidence you want, Judge. Let's do the separate property analysis. And Judge Duckworth, I would have bet large amounts of money, he would have said yes. One, based upon Ford versus Ford, and two, based upon the fact that he telegraphed it, that he didn't have the right evidence. So he had to rule on the evidence presented. And that's the big thing. The judge ruled on the evidence presented. And that's all a judge can do. A judge can't go out and create evidence, look stuff up, him or herself. That's
sure.
Completely
so that means,
improper.
That means the outcome turns on who had the burden to present that evidence.
Correct. And given that this company was born during the marriage, it's presumptively community property. And this is something even that they should have cleared up at a pretrial issue to say, hey, judge, where are we with this? But they didn't do that. But it was born during the marriage, and under NRS 123-220, it is presumptively community property. Now,
but it's also true that under 123.130, rents, issues, and profits of separate property are separate property.
Correct. And that goes to their supplemental authorities that they filed, that they simply filed a case out of, I believe, California that already restated Nevada law that no one disputes. If you have stock that you got as a kid, and then you get married 20 years later, and then you earn dividends off that stock, and you keep it in a separate account, of course, that's separate property. You've had it all these years before your wife might have even been born. So, of course it is.
What if the company merges and now you get stock of a different company? Is that now community property, or is it still separate?
Well, the whole thing is still separate. Whatever it does afterwards, you could sell the stock, buy a different stock. You could sell the stock, buy a car, buy a stamp collection. It doesn't matter. Whatever, as long as you keep it separate, whatever happens to that money is separate property, no matter what happens to it. Now, I would like to talk about alimony for a little bit here. The purpose of alimony is to narrow gaps in income post-divorce and also to maintain as closely as you can the lifestyle you achieved during the marriage. Now, there's no doubt this was a very high-end community with Mr. Draskovich earning $704,000 or so per year during the marriage, though he did misstate that at trial. But the expert who testified said that's what he was making. Now, under Scheidler, it says a community property offset for a business cannot obviate alimony. Under Sprenger, there is a business offset of $837,000, which in today's dollars would be $1.7 million. Alimony was set at $1,500, which today would be about $3,000. The Supreme Court held that that was an abuse of discretion because the award of alimony was too low. Here, we have a $1.2 million total value, $600 to my client, and no alimony. So just under Sprenger alone, with the offset for the business, there should have been an alimony award.
Doesn't the current statute regarding alimony leave it to the discretion of the court as long as they consider the listed statutory factors, which Judge Duckworth did here?
Well, yes, but you can always abuse discretion, and that's what happened in Sprenger. Sprenger, they said the judge abused the discretion. And yes, I understand during Sprenger they were going by the Buchanan factors, which were codified in the statute. So it's one and the same. It's the same analysis. But no alimony with a lower property award than in Sprenger. And they said in Sprenger it was an abuse of discretion. So naturally, should the court, which I say the court should not, if the court reverses the business offset, of course alimony should be reversed as well. The court should not do that, but even with affirming the district court's decision on the business issue, the court should reverse on alimony and order the judge to award alimony, because just under Sprenger alone, with very, very close facts, where my client's award was less. In fact, it was less in today's dollars than it was in those dollars back then, let alone 837 was the business offset back then, which is really 1.7 million. She got 1.7 in today's dollars and still had nothing.
Time's up, counsel.
Okay, if the court has any further questions, I'm happy to answer.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I bumped into Mr. Watkins and his group in the front, and I thanked them for coming early. I thank you as well for accommodating the court and coming at 3:30.
Oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Watkins.
Yes. First off, the statement that Robert requested a community property valuation is a lie. I said it was a lie in the brief. I said it several times. That is absolutely false. In fact, they contradict themselves in their moving papers. They say that Ms. Allen's testimony was the present value of Robert's practice. It had nothing to do with community property. That would be absolutely ludicrous to ask for strictly a community property evaluation. That was, in fact, not done at all. Robert's practice through his entire career was his separate property. When he got married, marriage does not change that. It was separate property. It was separate property at the time of the incorporation. The act of incorporation does not transmute community property, plain and simple. Also, Mr. James keeps referring to 123.220. What he's leaving out is it says all property other than that stated in NRS 123.130, which is community property. If it is clear it's community property, you cannot transmute it with
you
a community
property.
I'm sorry.
You misspoke. You mean separate property.
Yes, separate property. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Sorry.
But in that statute, it says, okay, that is exempt, okay, from the transmutation presumption. Alimony, just briefly, the judge did not impute, okay, her income. Now, in the moving papers, Mr. James says that should be done. If you, in fact, do that, this court, you impute the income because she don't want to work. End of story. She just don't want to work. It's very clear she don't want to work. And so if you impute that $321,750, plus she got $432,000 cash already, plus some valuable assets, paintings, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. And just briefly, $5,000 for monthly. She has plenty of money to live within that framework. And therefore, this court should not, it should grant Robert's appeal because it is meritorious. And number two, there should, the denial of alimony should stand. She did pretty well in Robert's marriage and no problem getting what you're entitled to. She's not entitled to his law practice. Thank you very much. Really appreciate. It's good to be back. I don't, you know, get to the courts as often, right, but I'm still working hard behind the scenes, and you probably know that because you see a lot of our work.
We do. All right. Thanks, everyone. As Justice Stiglitz said, thanks for accommodating our schedule, coming a little early. Appreciate the arguments. This matter will stand submitted. We'll be in recess until the next call of the court.